Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, yes, and welcome. You've made it to, I don't know what day you're listening to this, but they go out every Tuesday, so you've at least made it to one Tuesday that we know about. So congratulations, we're going to get you through your commute, your gym, whatever you're doing. Today I'm joined by Glamour's content editor, Leanne Bailey.
Hello.
And the spectacularly handsome, charming, all-round, talented entertainer, Mr. Jamie Campbell-Bauer.
Hello, thank you,
Joe. Hi. Thanks for being here.
No, thank you for having me.
You and I chat a little bit on Twitter every now and again. We're Twitter pals. And what I have noticed is I've been dying to get this story in. You'll get there in the end. Once I got, I had a little flirtation for a couple of days with Harry Styles on Twitter.
We were
like, I know, it's like, you know, no death threats, highly disappointing. Nobody saw me as a threat to Harry Styles's single at the time. No, he did. It was something about buying my toes. You can look it up. I don't know. It was weird. But I thought my phone went mental that day. But then if you say to me something like, oh, yeah, Joe, I've got that vacuum cleaner.
I love that vacuum cleaner, though, to be fair.
Then my Twitter goes mental for weeks. Your fans are insane.
I apologize.
I mean, in a good way.
I apologize on behalf of them. That's all I can say.
I'm kind of expected to see 500 of them out there right now.
They don't know where we are at the moment.
Yeah, I nearly tweeted that you were coming in and I thought, no, that's a very bad idea for your health and safety.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So, you know, how do you handle it?
I mean, it's an amazing thing. I mean, I've been working for like 10 years now. I started working when I was about 18 and those jobs that I did when I first started working obviously were quite high profile jobs, big franchise movies, yeah, and stuff like that. And I think from that, you know, obviously you gain a certain following, but
so it's nothing to do with you.
It's nothing to do with me. It's purely, it's more Robert Pattinson than anything, if I'm being brutally honest.
You're the almost attainable friend next to
exactly year. Yeah. I'm the best friend in the movie. That's what I am. That's all I am. They're like, he's the way in. He will be friends with him and then he can get us in. No, I mean, it's I've always tried to just like be myself, I guess. And what I discovered on social media and stuff is the fact that actually the more you are yourself is the more that people connect and you share your stories and so on and so forth. And that's really cool for me because I still like, I always think, oh, I'm just a kid. I'm still just like figuring out who I am. And sure, the stuff that I do is like crazy and it's bizarre. And like, I guess from the outside perspective, it's seen as very glamorous. But underneath all that, there's still like me and there's still a human. I've never tried to be anything other than that. So it's a really like emotional experience for me when I get to meet those people who, you know, who do follow us around. And
is it ever a terrifying experience?
It can be. I mean, it can be sometimes, of course. You know, I think I've had experiences where somebody sent me a parcel. We were filming, in fact, it was the last Twilight. We were filming in Baton Rouge and I got this parcel delivered to the hotel that we were all staying at. There's like 72 of us. And in the parcel was this wheel of cheese. A letter.
I mean, sorry, that's the dream.
It gets weirder though.
Are you going to complain about getting a big wheel of cheese?
It gets weird.
Right.
A letter describing some like terribly sexually explicit things that this individual wanted to do to me. and a bondage collar with nipple wow. clamps on
oh,
it.
Okay.
And then after
that... Can I get that back, by the way?
You know what? I gave it to the guys on the hotel door. I was really freaked out by it. So I was like, here, you guys can just have this.
Oh, God.
And then this person would like call up the hotel room and just breathe down the phone. So sometimes it gets a bit weird.
Wow.
But I'm all about weird. Like, I like weird. Weird is good.
And now you're a grown-up human, as kind you of. Say, with a brand new album.
Yes.
Another string to your bow.
Yeah. It's something that I've done since I was a kid. Like, playing music has always been a massive part of my life. I used to play in bands when I was, like, 14, 15. And then at around 15, I started to gig in London. So started to play, like, up in North London and did Madame Jojo's, was, like, our second show, which is now shut down, which was an amazing venue. And it just happened that I think that the acting, like, sort of took off earlier than the music did. It was always something that I just continued to do. And then with this new band that I started Counterfeit about 18 months ago, I kind of just put all the excess time that I had between filming things straight into that, and don't really have a social life anymore, if I'm being totally honest. But that's great. I love it. And it's, yeah, we recorded this record and it's out today.
Called We Are Stronger Together?
Together We Are Stronger, yeah.
Yeah, Together We Are Stronger, sorry. Together I got we the are right stronger. Words in yeah. the yeah. wrong order.
Or you can abbreviate it to TWAS, yeah. which
oh,
is great.
Oh, there you go. Which the Twilight fans like a bit of exactly. that sort of thing. So you're onto a winner there.
No,
so it's out, when we're recording this, it's out today. So it's yeah. out now, listeners. And I must admit, it has spoken to me, Jamie. It's like, it really took me back to my youth. It's sort of like, it's really hard rock. It's really sort of like Nirvana-y and all of those sorts of things. Are they the right influences that I'm
yeah,
referencing there?
Or? Absolutely. I mean, yeah. we get asked that question a lot, which is sort of, you know, what are your main influences for the record and where do your musical inspirations come from? And I grew up in a household that was very accepting of all different types of music. My parents were both in the music industry. So, you know, there's like classical music floating around my house, rock and roll, folk, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I guess like the grunge scene when I was like 15, you know, everyone kind of gets into that whole like grunge scene and Nirvana, and then I progressed into slightly more sort of heavier rock, but there's also that classic rock element to it as well, you know, a little bit of Motley Crue in there, a little bit of Guns N' Roses. I like the whole rock star kind of thing that was going on at that time for sure, and I definitely wanted to capture that on the record, but I think it needed to remain like a live album. Like, it sounded like it was sort of trying to survive in a weird way. That was always my vision for it. Like, it was just struggling.
Are you as angry in real life as the music is?
I'm not like as outwardly, I would say, as aggressive as the music is. The music and what I'm writing about on the record is very personal, and it's a very personal thing that I went through in terms of, you know, coming out of being a kid and becoming a young man or a young adult. You slowly but surely, you know, get the realization that, you know, that there's feeling underneath all that, you know, all those sort of like hormones and those new exciting things, they sort of die away, and underneath all of that there's an individual. And I made certain changes in my life when I was about 25, and through just basically growing up, I was able to feel a lot more, and I kind of found myself angry and hurt and confused, and I wanted to get that out of me. And I think music for me needs to be that. It needs to be that form of expression. It needs to be real and honest. So yeah, I think sometimes I am.
Are you able to talk about, was there one particular moment where you thought actually something's got to change?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've spoken about it more recently, and I'm happy to talk about it now, I guess. I mean, I kind of just cleaned up my life. As a kid, like, I started working when I was quite young, and with that, there's this great, everything's amazing and everything's exciting and you're going to all these wonderful parties and everything's great, and life's a party. Life's yeah. a party for, like, you know, life was a party for 7 years, and I had a great time, and I got to 25 and I just went, actually, do you know what, like, I think I feel like I'm missing out on experiences by just being a bit of a mess sometimes, if I'm honest. So I was like, I cut that bullshit out, and I was like, I'm done with that. Like, no more being a wreck, no more, you know, no more fun. No, no, I still have fun.
Good to know. Okay, so now we're going to dive deep into the issues of the day. Well, the issues of, I don't know if they're... Are they issues of the day? Do we care? We do care.
We do. We're on the podcast.
It's there's just the sort of minutiae that takes up our day at Glamour is these sorts of issues. So, Jamie, is it okay to hate big crowds of people? Big crowds of people, not crowds.
Big crowds.
I can speak sometimes.
I think so. I fluctuate between this feeling of loving being in front of a crowd and absolutely despising it. I get incredibly anxious before I have to go and like stand on stage or go to a premiere or something like that. So, I mean, it's always been something for me that I've had to deal with, but it's not something that I'd necessarily like sort of love on a day-to-day basis.
It's context, isn't it? I mean, I guess if you're all pumped about doing a gig and you go out and there's three people out there.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened?
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. A lot of times. I mean, you know, you sort of go out there expecting 400 people and there's your mum and, you know, the dog, which is, you know, which is
nice of them. They didn't have anything else on.
Yeah, well, I don't think they even bought a ticket. I think they were just on the guest list, you know, had nothing else to do. But I think it's okay to hate big crowds of people. I mean, yeah, I think we've all been there. Have you been there?
I mean, I like big crowds of people. Like, obviously not on my early morning commute. That's like the
nightmare. She's so sociable though, Ellie-Anne.
Oh, I am sociable.
She likes people.
I don't feel like when I'm talking to friends and there's a lot of us, that's when I get a little bit stressed out. I kind of just want to talk to one friend and that be it.
Have you reached that age where you just want to sit down somewhere nice and quiet?
Oh, no.
A restaurant. I mean, because I have. Totally.
I'm with you, Jo.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
I'm welcome to that age. Damn, I don't want to be that age.
Sorry, hon. Yeah, but you've got a really, well, I was going to say weird because that's the first thing that pops into my head. An unconventional living arrangement at the moment.
I do, yes. So I've recently moved into a new co-living community in London called The Collective.
It sounds like a cult.
It does.
Yeah.
Are you intrigued?
Who's the leader?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's like 24 years old and
came
up
with the idea.
Oh, you see,
it's a cult.
There is a leader.
Yeah, there is a leader.
Do you have to sort of worship him in any way, shape or form?
Every morning, Jamie. he's actually quite nice looking as well.
Every night he takes one of his wives sort of in a rotating basis.
Yeah.
Is
this not the Playboy Mansion? Is that what this is? Oh, Hugh Hefner is your leader.
Way less glamorous than the Playboy Mansion. Though I do love pink. So basically on every single floor you have your own space to live in, but then there's something to do with everyone else that lives there. So whether it's a bar, library, spa, gym, I know, communal kitchen to cook with other people. Not that I do that. So I'm meant to hang out with a lot of people all the time, but then I just go home and watch Netflix in my room by myself.
Well, I mean, I bet they're all talking about how unsociable you are.
I think they
in
are.
In the communal kitchen.
Yeah, I do get a bit of FOMO, especially on a Friday night because they have their like drinks on a Friday night in the bar. And I'm just like, I walk in like, oh, they're all having a party and I'm just going to go up to my room then. Bye.
Yeah. So you're afraid of them?
Yes, I think that's it's the fear.
It is a fear. I hear you. I mean,
that is a classic introverted thing. I'm quite happy in a bunch of people and in a bunch of strangers. But last night I went to the theatre on my own because my friend was in the play. So that was all very exciting.
Darling.
But it was, I did feel weird. It was just me in this big space of people. If I walk in and like it gradually builds up in numbers of people, I'm fine. But if you have to walk in and be on to a really loud, buzzy room, that's weird.
Yeah, that's the stressful part.
Are you the same? Or?
Kind of. I mean, I find like also a lot of the time when you go to sort of parties and so on and so forth, particularly if you're going by yourself, that is the most terrifying experience. Like I will ever, I'll walk in there and
I'll be
just
plus
stand
one.
Still. Will you come?
Yeah.
Please, that would be so nice. And everyone else looks so glamorous and I stand there
you're
and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. No, but it's true. And I think it was a real watershed moment for me. I was at a work function and I had to go by myself, and I found myself I could either stand in the corner with my drink and pretend to be busy on my phone, or I literally had to go up to groups of people all chatting and go, hi, I'm Joe, blah, blah. And that I actually made some good friends out of doing that, but God, that felt like jumping off a cliff.
Thank God for the mobile phone.
Yeah, thank God for social media at that point in time.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, Joe, people will come up, you'll introduce yourself and people go, oh, cool, Joe Elvin, like, great, I'll go.
Oh, no,
I'll
not,
go
in, and, no not in this room, no.
Really?
No,
not a good room.
Nobody, I had to explain who the hell I was. You know, it wasn't like, you know, I'm not a celebrity, do you know what I mean? Like, you can do that.
Well, no, because I get the question of, actor, how's that going? like, well, it's going well. It's like,
sympathetic head tilt.
Yeah. Is it nice? Are you having a nice time?
Actors are supposed to hate questions like, now what have I seen you in?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What have I seen? No, I haven't seen Matt.
Is it Doctor Who? Is it Doctor Who you're in? Yeah, I like Doctor Who.
Oh, is it? And then I think actors, they hate rattling off, well, maybe you've seen me in this. No, it wasn't that. No.
I started to lie. Like, I started to lie to taxi drivers a few years ago when I realised that they would ask the question of what have you been in. I'd start to go, I'd tell them the truth. I'd say, they say, what do you do? And I'd say, oh, well, I work in the film industry. What do you do? I'm a grip. That's what I do. You know, it just shuts the conversation down instantly.
Like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look
can't
at you.
Can't be on camera. Yeah. Exactly.
Turn the music up. Yeah. Yeah, that's not one.
You've got holes in your jeans. Come on, pull it together, boy.
So I think, Leanne, I think your task tonight, because this is actually a Friday that we're recording this, is I want you to Insta story going into the crowded bar. Make a new friend. Oh, go on. What's the worst that can happen?
I don't know.
Take Jamie. He's not doing anything.
We're throwing a party tonight. Come down to our party.
Okay, cool. I've got the plan. Sorry, Jamie.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Who of us here are in a relationship and who's single?
Single.
I'm in a relationship.
Same. So, is it okay? And this will be, we'll have a good mix of, you know, I think your relationship has to be a lot younger than my relationship because I've been married 2,000 years.
Beginning of time.
Yeah, it feels like the first day. It's amazing. Aww. Leanne, you'll have opinions on this as a single person.
Yes.
Is it okay to be that couple, in inverted commas, who do everything together? And it's so sweet and lovely. And you can already tell what I'm thinking of it. It's like,
I can't. Jamie? My girlfriend and I can't do everything together. Like, we'd end up... We probably end up killing one another.
How old is this relationship?
This relationship is 3 years old.
Oh, right. Okay. So it's not the honeymoon-y phase where we might forgive you for such a...
That was gone like 3 months in. Yeah. Are you kidding? Like, that's, you know, it's like once you find out really who the person is, you're like, oh, okay, well, I mean, I still love you, but like, God, you annoy me.
You're not a mythical, magical unicorn creature like I thought on your Tinder profile.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I've never used Tinder. Never. Yeah. Honestly, I don't think we could do everything together. I mean, I think it's very sweet when you do see those people who do everything together.
No,
but it's
I think it's weird.
Do you think it's weird?
I think it's annoying.
Aren't we awful? Maybe we're just not very romantic, but I don't know. I think one of the reasons I have been successfully married for the last 2,000 years is that we have our own friends and we do our own stuff. I think it's, what would we talk about if we did everything together?
Mm.
That's from that point of view, I just don't understand it. But I don't know, do we know anybody who's successfully that conjoined and that cute? It's when people like James, who's producing today, was in our office saying, you know, so having friends who describe everything as we. Oh, we don't like that. you know, we don't like chicken. We don't go out on Saturdays. No, we have curry on Friday. You know, it's like, who, what, when did this happen?
Yeah, when did you become one entity?
Yeah, I did not ask for we, I asked for you.
Yeah.
I'm not taking your emotional baggage.
Yeah.
I mean, and I get people being happy.
That's nice.
I don't.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Happiness is upsetting. Deeply upsetting.
It is, isn't it?
But there's the smugness on Instagram as well. There's so much smugness. I feel like every single time I look on my Instagram, it's like a smug couple all the time.
But are we, let's examine ourselves. Are we just being a bit jealous of those people who are so blissfully
100%,
together? 100%. I slightly feel sometimes like, and I think this often when I read celebrity interviews where they're sort of like really demonstrably going on about what an amazing partner they're with. To me, that's protesting too much. That's almost trying to convince yourself that everything's great and lovely. So I don't know. I think that, why are you laughing?
Because you're reading those interviews going, it's all fucking falling apart. Yeah, I know it is.
I know. And I have to say, I've got a good hit rate.
Yeah, do you? Like, you know, do
so
you?
I'd say I'm 70% right.
I hear you. Yeah. I feel you. I suppose in terms of sort of like celebrity interviews and so on and so forth, I do. I mean, my partner's amazing. Like Matilda, she's an incredible human being, and like I love her to bits. And if anybody did ever ask me about her in an interview, of course I'd say, you know, all the amazing stuff. I'm not going to stand there and be like, oh well, we had a row last night because one of us forgot to do the washing up.
What I mean is, I think the couples who are authentically and genuinely happy are genuinely the ones who go, yeah, I'm in a relationship and it's great and it's happy, but I'm not going to talk about it. I mean, we always, as journalists, ask the questions, but I'm always a little bit wary of the people who then want to bang on about
it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, make
in
it
that
about
really.
It.
This is the most, you know, people who say things like, I finally met my soulmate. That's a rehearsed soundbite.
Have you ever said that, Jane?
No, I don't think
not
so.
Not out loud.
Maybe thought it.
It's nice if he says it to her.
Yeah, that's nice.
Maybe not to the media. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I absolutely know what you mean. Yeah. And going back to your point about sort of like people who do, you know, people who do everything together. I think it's, like you say, I think it is important to have separate lives because before you met each other, you were still doing your own thing. Yeah. You know, just because you meet somebody doesn't mean that your world gets that much smaller and that, you know, that you have to be so inward. I mean, I'm naturally quite an inward person anyway. So like my world is very small from birth. So I struggle.
I think it's nice. You know, it's nice to, another person can add to your life as well in that way. You know, we have shared interests now that he's introduced me to and vice versa. So there's that part of it. It sort of like expands your world in a way. But I would hate anybody to think that if they invited Ross to something that I'm there as a package deal and vice versa. I just think that's weird. Because I think there are people who don't like me and they like Ross, and so they'd quite like to carry on, you know.
I mean, also, not to be, you know, an eggy Nancy, but
I love you. That's such a cute saying.
I mean, I say it all the time. But when a couple ends, and if they've all got the same friends because they do the same thing all the time,
yeah,
then what do the friends do? They've got to pick, and then it's awkward.
It's
and then
very
one's
awkward
left without any friends.
Picking sides.
Yeah,
I think battle to the death is the only way that can be fixed. Really,
the Hunger Games style.
Kind of exactly. Maybe a little bit more battle royale, but yeah, I get you. Yeah,
that's fine because I would totally win.
you got all the good stuff.
So we know that more and more of you are listening to Hey It's Okay every week while you're commuting or going to the gym or pouring that gin in the kitchen. I saw you. I know it's a double. We all know. But and we are loving hearing your feedback. So please do subscribe on iTunes so that you never, ever miss an episode. You've got enough to think about, so we can remind you every week. And if you leave a review and if we read it out here, you're getting a special little prize from the Glamour Beauty Cupboard. So do that. So you've got a great review and possibly one of the worst names to read out. So we've got a review here from, it sounds like I'm giving you my credit card number, MLC0091. Catchy. Okay, so my review for you is, get another username, but we love you anyway. because you said, thank you, Glam Squad, for your Hey, It's Okay podcast. It gets me through a very boring commute. And that's the point, everybody. We can really help you with that. Even if I do get some odd looks for laughing to myself. Thanks also for talking about social media. For ages, I've been forcing myself to get to grips with Snapchat, but your talk made me realize that if you don't love it, then ditch it. Oh, yes, I've got no time for Snapchat. So if you get in touch with me at editor@glamourmagazine.co.uk, MLC, all the numbers, we will be sending you something fab in the post. So thank you. I mean, I should probably cede the floor on this one because I'm the worst offender. Is it okay to be a potty mouth?
Fuck yeah.
Okay, job done. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm out. Yeah. Game over. Thank you so much, team. Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Drop the mic.
It's a mic drop. Yeah, of course it is. I mean, you know, swearing is an extension of the English language. I think if you're using it in the correct, you know, in the correct fashion, in the correct word to emphasize certain moments, absolutely. I think if you're just brazenly swearing to describe something that actually you could use better words
so
to
like,
describe.
Hey, Jamie, do you want a fucking coffee? That sort of, yeah, is that, that's not on?
Well, but it would be if you were angry with me, you know, right. I'd understand, you know, if I'd upset you, if I hadn't done anything that you'd asked me to do, which tends to happen.
Never upset me, dear.
Stop it. Yeah. I don't believe you.
I might do that when I go to Starbucks at lunch, though. Hey, can I have a tall, skinny fucking latte, please?
Yeah, yeah. And make it shitting quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Well, I actually wrote an editor's letter about this recently because I do swear too much. Maybe it's the Australian in me. I don't know. I don't do you want an effing coffee, but particularly if I'm angry, which tends to happen a lot when you're a magazine editor, you know, it comes fast and furious and very colourful. And I know a few people around here have told me that I've taught them words that they didn't even know existed. But I don't know, and I sort of like every now and again I listen to the people in the office and nobody swears as much as I do, and I kind of feel like somebody in my position should perhaps be a bit more mature and a bit more commanding and powerful, and I'm not sure it's very powerful to be swearing all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I get you. To be swearing all the time, you know, if it's part of your language and it's part of who you are, I don't see the point in changing it really, if I'm honest. Like, if you're just going to go out there and cuss, like, and you feel comfortable with doing that and you're not like really offending anyone, then great, be my guest. Like, absolutely.
Every now and again, I wonder if I am really offending people.
You don't offend me. You don't offend me, Jo.
Well, you have to say that. You're standing here.
I know, but you don't. So, I mean, yeah. I don't get offended by swearers.
Because you don't swear, do you, really?
I don't swear that much. Only if something like I've lost my phone and then I go on that, like, you know, that weird tantrum and then you find it again and it's really awkward. But I don't really swear that much, I don't think. I mean, maybe some people would disagree, but I don't, especially not at work. I don't think I do at work.
No, you don't. No. And it's people like you, I think, oh, she can communicate without doing that. I really need to have a good
grasp.
Look at myself, you know, a real word with myself. It's and then there's the whole thing. I have had people tell me that, you know, which makes me swear, is like, it's not ladylike. Actually, a friend of mine had a boyfriend who once said to her, look, I love you, I think you're great, but you drink too much and you swear too much.
Bye.
And she said, oh, fuck off and go and get me another drink.
You're perfect.
The best response ever.
Fantastic. But I don't know. Do people think worse of women who swear, whether or not they should?
I mean, I watched Amy Schumer's, you know, the Leather show last night. And, you know, she was swearing so much and I love her for that. Like, I know that Michelle Obama probably just never, you know, never swears. But just some people, it works for them. And like Amy Schumer, you can't imagine her not swearing. Joe, I can't imagine you not swearing.
See, I don't know if I like that.
You can't, what, not being able to, not imagine you to be able to not swear.
I'm not sure that's a good image.
Like, I knew something, you know.
Someone who's constantly on the verge of a breakdown.
Possibly. But it's the consonants, they just feel so good. It's like, you know, it's like a workout, isn't it?
It is.
Like oh, that felt good. It's like, you know, popping bubble wrap. It's like that.
I would never say the C word. That's never.
I can't say that I've never said the C word.
It's one of my favourite words.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm not going to say it now, but it's up there, you know, it's
and,
up there.
You know, there's a lot of people who have a real feminist issue with it, which I totally understand. I can't help that it's got the best consonants. It really has. It's so cathartic.
Feels great.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say it now because I don't want to upset everybody. But yeah, it's true, right? Do you swear on your album? Oh, I heard shit a couple of times.
I do. I swear a bit. I swear a bit on the record. But again, you know, that's to emphasize a point. And I think it's to emphasize, you know, how I'm feeling at that particular time. I've never really like had to check myself though with my swearing. Occasionally, like you say, you know, at work and stuff, if I'll be like shooting something, if I'm on a set and I'm like effing and blinding and everyone's sort of just like being very calm, I'm like,
yeah, is there, TMZ.
Is there something wrong with me? Like,
yeah, no, it's a proud day when you realize you do have to rein it in. I was, my daughter was 3 and she was trying to get my attention. She was going, "Mummy, mummy, mummy," and then she went, "Oh, fuck!" like this, and of course everybody laughed, which gets the reaction. Kind of is, but you know, my husband said to me, that's your fault," and he was right. But then we were both sort of like really proud of the exact perfect context in which she used it. So you know, it was like some of our parenting skills at one point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
she's, you know, she's got a good command of, you know, of the language that we speak, of attention, of needing attention.
And then she got a little bit older and said to me, "Now, mummy," in her best BBC accent clipped tones, like, "Mummy, you're supposed to be setting me a good example."
And I said, you got told.
Yeah, yeah. So I really I don't swear as much at home. So maybe that's why I do it more at work. Oh my God. Yeah.
But life's frustrating sometimes. I mean, I get constantly frustrated with things, you know. I mean, particularly doing what you do, you know, it must be absolutely frustrating. I find it exactly the same when the pressure's on and when things have got to be done. It's like if something sort of just slightly falls apart a bit, it is. It's that moment of like, fucking hell, like, come on, like, let's get this done.
I think the thing, the frustration in my job is that, and Leanne and James will know, it's dependent on so many other outside people.
Right.
Being able to be relied upon, and one little thing in the chain falls apart and that cover shoot falls through, or it's a huge pressure. And so yes, you do end up, because you can't swear at the people who've let you down, so you end up just having a big old tirade
at everyone.
Well, we have a communal sort of, you know, it is like a session, isn't it?
Yes.
Therapy.
Let it be known that when I got here, Joe was storming around the office swearing at everybody.
Throwing
she had
things.
This staff as well. It was like this flaming torch thing. I don't know, it was like all dark. She was wearing like this black cloak. It was really, it was an intimidating experience.
But there's a, you know, a management style book coming out for me next year.
All about girl boss. Yeah. Who swears?
Hashtag devil boss. Okay, well, that was fucking great, everybody. Thank you so much for being here today, Jamie Campbell-Bauer.
Thank you, Jamie.
And your cheekbones.
Yes, yeah,
Can
I know.
Can I just shout out to those, please?
Carved from granite.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Leanne Bailey, for being here with me today and putting up with all my potty mouth behaviour.
You're fucking welcome, Jess. Yes.
So, Counterfeit, Together We Are Stronger.
You got it.
Well, it's out now. It is, you know, in place of swearing, I'd say it's the next best thing to eke out some aggression. So go and do it. So thanks so much again and come back soon.
Thank you, Joe.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.